This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Hola amigos de Aloha Taroa, es un placer llegar siempre a este programa, a este espacio que nos une como comunidades de Nueva Zelanda, pero también si te interesa visitar esta hermosa isla, siempre es bacán poder encontrarnos en la discusión que generamos como comunidad. Recién hubo una situación sobre el ciclón acá en Nueva Zelanda. Muchas gracias a las personas que me escribieron. Yo he explicado que vivo en la zona norte, en la ciudad de Hamilton. Esto no está cercano a la costa, pero sí entramos en un plan, no de emergencia, pero sí de precaución, de prevención. Y es algo que yo la verdad he rescatado bastante lo que ha ocurrido la última semana, sobre todo con este ciclón, porque claro, como nosotros somos comunidades donde nuestras autoridades han olvidado de enseñarnos a tomar precauciones en ciertos tipos de desastres naturales o prevención para que exactamente no ocurra nada, ha sido una interesante experiencia, obviamente, después de lo que ocurrió en Tauranga, también en Nueva Zelanda. Luego el deslizamiento, obviamente despertaron las alertas de lo que ocurría. Sin embargo, no hubo ningún herido o ninguna muerte. Eso se celebra bastante porque las autoridades estuvieron bastante rígidas, principalmente con las familias que viven cerca de donde fue, bueno, nosotros lo llamamos epicentro en español, pero sí fue donde el ciclón golpeaba más y donde tocó tierra. Yo no soy una experta en eso y por eso hoy les tengo una entrevista muy interesante. Va a ser en inglés, porque es una autoridad de la defensa civil, como lo dicen ellos, pero también de la alcaldía, y que nos puede contar un poquito. Yo lo voy a hablar en inglés, como lo solemos hacer cuando hablamos aquí con alguien, con una autoridad acá, y iré un poco a poco resumiendo las cosas en español. Así que bueno, yo le quiero agradecer. Estoy ahora con Philippa Clear. Ella es, lo voy a decir en inglés, pero en español sería la representante del desarrollo de las comunidades en Hamilton. Pero voy a iniciar con la introducción porque la tengo aquí, me está escuchando mientras hablo en español, en inglés. Así que I just want to invite everyone to stay tuned here to listen to this podcast. If you are living in Hamilton, if you're coming from the Latin community and you want just to understand how to action or what to do if in the case of an emergency, I'm here with Philippa Clear. She's the community development and grants manager, but also she's part of the civil defense. So Philippa has been working at the council for almost 7 years across the libraries within the community development team. And also, she's joined the City Safe team. During that time, she had also held the responsibility of welfare manager for Hamilton. And this role, as she said, every council has to have fields. And that a person will work with a wider team to ensure the welfare needs of our communities are met during a civil defense emergency response. And I think that that's one of the most important discussion. If you are a Latin family and you don't know what to do in the case of an emergency. So just stay tuned. If you have questions after you listen to this podcast, you can just reach out to Aloha Taroa. We will try just to share experiences and also guidance how to act or respond to this in the case of an emergency. We are here to talk about this community in Hamilton can be better prepared for emergencies and natural disaster, working alongside also the Hamilton Civil Defense. And the goal is to understand the risk we might face and learn practical steps to keep ourselves, our families, nuestras familias, amigos, and our wider communities safe. Thank you, Philippa, to join me today. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
There is a lot of question after this cyclone.
Yeah. Yes.
How are you at the moment? Like, how was that week? Because it was like really busy week.
It was a busy week. I think in New Zealand over the past few years in particular, we've seen what can go wrong if we don't prepare. And so some people might be saying, well, there was a lot of noise or a lot of people saying, we need to get ready. And then the event, the cyclone itself for Hamilton and part of the wider Waikato wasn't that damaging. And so I had my 17-year-old son say, oh, well, why do we even bother when nothing bad happens? And so that can sometimes be people's, you know, thoughts around an event. But if we aren't prepared, or if we didn't prepare for this event, actually it may have been worse. We may have lost more trees. We may have seen more flooding. The council, leading up to the weekend with the cyclone coming, we had teams out clearing drains. We had trees that had branches cut off. Council was trying to prepare, so if there was flooding, if the winds did pick up, we wouldn't have trees falling on the road or falling on houses or falling down in parks. We wouldn't have surface flooding because drains were blocked. So that preparation meant that we didn't get impacted quite so much. I did spend quite a bit of the weekend on teams calls and having phone calls and ensuring that we were ready to go if something did happen. But I'm really grateful that nothing too bad happened.
Yeah, no, that's good because that's preparation actually. Yep. And what kind of questions do you have, like, coming from people? Because I hear the same and I read that in social media that there is nothing bad coming or something like that. Yep. We stayed at home because we didn't know what could happen. But it takes time to understand that prevention is one of the main goals here.
Yeah, definitely. Look, I mean, with a cyclone, we never know the exact track it's going to take, or we can predict with weather events, we can try and predict as much as possible, but we don't know exactly how that's going to hit. Something like an earthquake is very different again. We don't know when that's going to hit or how that's going to hit. And so preparation needs to be in the back of our minds constantly, basically. We across the Waikato, we work with all the other councils in the Waikato region. So we're really aware that some of the other areas, like Thames Coromandel, for example, preparation looks very different for them because they do often get hit quite a lot harder. And so we need to think about if an event happens across our region or even within our city, if people need to get evacuated from their homes, where are they going to go?
I don't have idea.
That's right. And so that's part of my responsibility. Yeah. So on the weekend, for example, following the cyclone, we had three different sites across Hamilton that were ready to be opened if we needed to evacuate people. So if roofs were blown off, if there was flooding, if something like that happened, we knew that we could open up the rugby stadium, so FMG Stadium. We could open the Claudelands Event Centre. And we also had the Pukete Sports Dome up in Tarapa that we could open. So we were ready to say, these people can go to one of these sites, or if you are if you need to be evacuated, or you'd like to self-evacuate, or you need to leave your home, here are some safe places to go. So we had that ready in the background if something was going to happen. If you look at what some of the other councils did, they already opened some of those spaces. So in the Thames Coromandel area, they had some what we call civil defence centres ready to go. Yeah. So often a marae, or it might be a sports club or something like that. Tauranga was the same. They had a number of marae open overnight on Saturday night, and then on Sunday they opened some more spaces as well because they were quite badly hit, well, worse than we were anyway. So yeah, having a safe space for people to go is one of the key things that we prepare for as a council.
And during the year, because we are now based in Hamilton, and we are having this talk because we discussed earlier that it's nice or it's good for the community, mostly for the in this occasion is for the Latin community. Yeah. We are not new here, but we were discussing this, like what we should do in the case of an evacuation, because we know that we have an emergency call number, but we don't know how to react, if we need to be prepared at home, stay at home, because we saw people like just, I don't know, like
doing life normally.
Normally life. And even like social media, people just like in the I don't know, like close to the beach.
Yeah.
You're trying to have a swim or what, you know?
It was surfing.
Like crazy. Yeah, surfing. Yeah, it was like a picture. Like.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's not just the Latino community that doesn't know what to do in a response. I remember we had two very young children and we'd gone up Coromandel with friends who also had two very young children. This would have been in, 2011 maybe, so not that long ago. And there was a weather event and we were completely cut off. There was flood water coming through the bottom of the house. We had babies in porta cots, so really low to the ground.
Yeah.
And the whole bottom story of this house was flooded. Thankfully, we got our cars up onto a higher point and we alerted the neighbours. And this was sort of at 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock at night. We were going around knocking on people's doors, telling them to move their cars. And the bridge was washed out. And we had no idea what to do. So we were stuck because there was no other way out. This bridge had been washed out. Yeah. We knew nothing about civil defence. I mean, we were pretty capable people. We were living on a farm. Our friends were, had grown up on a farm. And so we were pretty resilient. But I had no idea that civil defence could actually help us in that moment. We had to stay there longer. We had young babies. It was actually, like, in hindsight, I look back and think, gosh, if I'd known what we could have done to get help in that moment, it would have been really, really good. Thankfully, we still had power. And so, but, you know, there was a freezer downstairs that was floating and it started to stink because everything was drying out. It wasn't our best holiday, but hey. And so I think, like, building awareness of what we can do to get help. Like you say, everybody knows you can dial 111 to get emergency support. In an event, civil defence will activate, and New Zealand is doing a lot of work to ensure that we can look after our community. And so the thing that I would say, I think one of the questions you sort of said to me is, you know, what official communication channels should we follow during an emergency?
Mm-hmm.
It's really important, no matter where you live, so whether that's Hamilton or anywhere else in our country, make sure that you know, if you're on social media, if you're on Facebook, most councils will have a Facebook page. And that can become a very reliable source of information, or civil defence Facebook pages or civil defence websites. It's not always possible. Internet might go down. We saw that with the Christchurch earthquakes. Internet went down. People couldn't access that. We've seen that with Cyclone Gabrielle, a few years ago. Internet, people couldn't access information.
Yeah, and I think that in Hamilton, it's a city. I mean, we have a good location,
yep,
if you compare from like another cities. But one of my, investigation, or I hear, mm-hmm, that there is like more of 100 culturals.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's, I asked that because, in English, mm-hmm, you can get that message.
Yes.
But it's completely different what you receive coming from another country.
Yeah.
You know, for another culture.
Yeah.
So, for us, like in Spanish, it will be completely different,
yes,
you know?
Yeah.
So I don't imagine if Chinese, so there's a lot of cultural power there, you know, a lot of discussion.
That's a really
so that's
good
why
point.
I asked about the social media.
Yeah.
Because, like, for us, maybe it's like, okay, this is an emergency, but it's not the same thing if I listen in my own language, you know, emergencia.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's definitely something we're aware of. It's, I guess, in the first moments of a response, it's quite challenging for us to translate that into the
absolutely,
right language.
Yeah.
However, if there is an ongoing impact, or if it's going to last for more than sort of 24 hours, one thing we are quite committed to doing as a council is connecting in with our different ethnic groups and our different ethnic leaders and understanding, A, do they need some help translating information, or B, do they just need clear channels of information? Mm-hmm. So we've got a great ethnic advisor at council, Jovia Balanossa.
Yeah,
she's
yeah.
amazing, and she's got really good connections in with our ethnic ethnic community. So utilising her in a response to disseminate information, get information out to the right people. So, you know, we met recently the Ethnic Leaders Forum for our welcoming communities or our ethnic sector. And we said, you know, you do sort of hold a role as ethnic leaders to ensure that your communities can access the right information, because there's nothing worse than getting wrong information when you're already feeling stressed.
And in that, I just want to add this. I will add this in Spanish. Estamos hablando con Filipa Claire. Ella es parte del grupo de la alcaldía, pero también para tratar desastres naturales, de cómo estar preparado. Yo solo agrego un poquito de información aquí para que tú te quedes conectado y respondas de estas preguntas y lo importante que hay que estar informados y bien informado. I'm just saying that I think that is one of the most important things is how we get that information.
Yes.
Because I think that, yeah, I mean, social media is a good key to get informed. But sometimes it's not the best. You know what I mean? Because it's a lot of misunderstanding in social media as well.
Yeah.
So for me, I think that it's really important to talk with the authority who has the power of the information.
Yeah.
You know?
So, I mean, the language, the translation is one piece, but if you're going to try and attempt to understand it in English, at least go to the right pages.
Yeah.
Go to our civil defence websites. Go to our council websites. We do have some of the bigger radio stations that if there is an event, they will be able to share information. And so not all of us have a radio at home, but most of us have got a radio in the car. So worst case scenario, if internet goes down, if phones go down, jump in your car and turn on a radio and listen for information that way, because the radio channels work differently, obviously, to internet and phone. So,
Filipa, you are from Hamilton.
Yes.
Yeah, so you have been living here your entire...
I was born in Matamata and my family live in Tauranga. So I went through my high school years in Tauranga, but my family, we've been in the Waikato region for some time. We do feel pretty comfortable here. We feel pretty safe, but we're also aware that there is a lot that can go wrong. You know, we're at risk of earthquakes, like most of New Zealand. If there's a major earthquake, Hamilton will potentially be hit. Our bridges might not be able to be used for a period of time until we can ensure they're safe to get over. You know, we're aware that our kids might be on one side of Hamilton and we might be on the other, and we might not be able to get to them. And thus some of the conversations that we have at home around what will you do. Now that my boys are teenagers, they're like, we don't care, Mum, we'll be fine. But we do have those conversations to ensure that we know what to do, and we've got stuff at home. We do live quite close to the river, so I'm also aware that if by chance a dam burst further up the river, we want to make sure that, you know, I want to make sure that we know what we're going to do. The likelihood of that happening is very slim, but I still want to be prepared.
So what types of natural disaster or emergency are most likely to affect our area? We are talking about New Zealand, but in Hamilton. What do you think that is like?
Earthquake is actually the biggest risk. Hikarangi subduction zone, which sits on the east coast of New Zealand, sort of out further in the ocean, if that was to create an earthquake, although we might not be at risk of a tsunami, we're definitely at risk of significant damage from an earthquake. So for us, the earthquake is probably likely to cause the most amount of damage, and that is one disaster that we do prepare for and we do talk about within civil defence, so we know what we will do if that happens. Other than that, we've got severe weather events that might cause flooding, wind. We have had a tornado through Hamilton once, through Frankton. I believe there might have even been a life lost with that.
Yeah, because my partner was like, instead of saying cyclone, he was the tornado. And I told him, no, it's not a tornado.
No,
he was like just trying to,
come up with ideas. Yeah, no, tornado is very rare, but we have had it. And that there have been, there was one not that long ago up in the sort of North Shore area as well. So droughts, volcanic ash fall. We've had a little bit of that, I think, when Ruapehu erupted in the late 90s. I think there was a bit of volcanic ash fall across quite a big part of the North Island. But that's obviously a risk as well and can, you know, cause damage. And then sort of landslips, landslides, things like that. You know, there are some properties on, you know, the edge of, I don't want to say cliffs, but, you know, parts along the river, you know, that could slip away. Or in our gully systems, you know, the land can subside when we've got a lot of water coming through. And so there are things to watch out for.
And now talking about response and safety, because we have been talking about general information, also community support, communication. What should people do in the first few hours of an emergency?
Yeah. So part of that's about how prepared you are to start with. So if you've got children, you need to think about what you're going to do to ensure not just yourself's looked after, but your child. And does your child know what to do? So as I mentioned before, if my kids are on one side of the river and my husband and I are on another side of the river, no matter what age your kids are, have that conversation with them. If an event happens in the middle of the day and you're at school and mum and dad or mum or whoever is at work, what are you going to do? Because you don't want your child there worrying, well, like, what's mum going to do? You have that conversation. The school will look after you. The school will provide some support and mum will work to come and get, you know, to get to you and to come and pick you up. So have that conversation to start with. The other thing people need to do is have some, a grab bag is what we call it. A bag that you can pick up and take with you in that first moment. So if you need to get out of your house, and we've heard, you know, with Cyclone Gabrielle, those flood waters rose so quickly, people couldn't, you don't have time to grab a whole lot of things and then leave the house. You don't have time to pack a suitcase. So have a bag with some basic items ready to go. It's things like a torch, you might have a radio, a first aid kit, there might be some pet supplies, you might have some medicine or at least a list of prescriptions. You know, if you need certain medication, have a list of that in your grab bag. And if possible, have 3 days of food and water ready to go. Mm-hmm. Because our water system might be out. And although as civil defence, we'll try and provide food and water to a certain degree for people, if you've got that ready to go, you don't need to rely on someone else bringing that to you. If roads are out of action from an earthquake, you've got that there and you can stay in your own safe space. So, you know,
all the toilet paper that they were.
All the toilet paper that people were just stripping the shelves off. You know, have some toilet paper so you don't need to panic buy just before a cyclone.
That's like a world reaction.
It is. I think COVID did that to us, didn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I don't know why, but it's like a huge thing.
Yeah. I must admit, that one doesn't worry me quite so much, the toilet paper. But I do have, we've got a good store of water at our house because I drink a lot of water during the day.
Same.
So I'm really worried. I think my husband doesn't care. As long as he's got coffee, he doesn't mind. But I'm a bit more like, I want enough water to get through a few days. And I know that we've got pet food generally enough for a few days. And we've got canned food and we've got some supplies for our family. So in those first few hours of an emergency, at least you know that you are prepared. And then other than that, have a look at what's on, your council webpage, your civil defence webpage, or listen to the radio, or if you can, watch TV, because there will be some information that comes out if it's a big event. And make sure you are getting your information from a reliable source. Don't just listen to your mate down the road who says,
I heard that in the radio. I saw it on TV.
The dam's about to burst. Yeah. You know, unless you're hearing that from an official site, don't panic. And, you know, just because that's what causes people to make bad decisions. It's, you know, we then see people making dangerous decisions as well. Well, I better get across the river before something bad happens. We don't want people on the bridge if there's an earthquake.
And you have that a lot in communities, like in Lafayette community, we have this. I heard this. These people, you can do this. And it's like, okay, It's that good because you want to help or support your community.
Yeah. Yeah.
But in this case of like emergency situation, there is like always important just to get informed from local authorities.
Definitely.
Thank you very much. Gracias, Filipa, for coming today, for joining me today in Aloha Taroa, because it's really important for us, like a Latin community, just to be informed and also to get close to the authorities.
Yeah.
There is a lot of questions. I'm just a channel to just trying to get, you know, to create this connection. Thank you for your time. It's clear that being prepared is essential and that everyone in our community has a role to play. Yes, staying informed, supporting each other, and taking simple steps to prepare, we can make a real difference in how we respond to emergency. Thank you, Filipa, very much.
Thank you so much for having me and for taking this seriously. I think one of the beautiful things with the Latino community is you do care about each other and you have a great community, and sometimes during a disaster having that support around you is also it's one of those things we don't necessarily say be prepared for, but you are prepared because you have that community. And so thank you for being a great part of our wider community, of part of Hamilton, and for having this taking this time today to talk about this.
Thank you. Gracias a todos, amigos. Recuerden que me escuchan por Aloha Taroa. Esta conversación ha sido con Filipa Clear. Ella es parte de la alcaldía de Hamilton, pero también está dando algunas sugerencias alrededor de Nueva Zelanda de cómo estar preparados ante cualquier emergencia que pueda ocurrir en Nueva Zelanda. Si bien venimos de culturas que a veces nos tomamos un poco relajado este tipo de situaciones, evidentemente al vivir en una isla, hay muchos más retos para estar informados, y solo es una actualización de lo que vivimos ahora con el ciclón, pero también si tú tienes preguntas, sugerencias, visita las páginas oficiales del council, o sea, de la alcaldía de donde estés viviendo como latino, pero también si tienes preguntas particulares, ya sabes que puedes localizarme en mis redes sociales de Aloha Taroa. Yo estoy como Denise Herrera. Amigos, ha sido un gusto. Los veo en un próximo episodio de Aloha Taroa. Adiós.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.